live,
uncensored,
Radio Free America. Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
All right, we're back now for a few more minutes here with Ted Bike, and I'm going to try to squeeze in a couple of calls for you, Ted, quickly, so we can once again answer some questions for people. Ron in Pennsylvania, you're next on the program, and then Doug. Hello, Ron.
Good evening. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Okay, I need to explain a couple things very quickly if I can, and I've been back and forth to the radio, and it may or may not have been touched upon. Now, I'm familiar with a number of Canadian people having lived up near that area, but in the United States here some years ago, and I'm aware of the problem that those guys have up there. Now, I'm not familiar with Canadian law, but I'm certainly familiar with ours. Now, as you may or may not know, some people do not, and they're very confused on things. Constitution of the United States is called preemptive law. That means it is before the rest of them. And the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, are an addendum, an additive. It has the weight of the Constitution itself. Now, back in 1982 in October, Congress declares the Bible the Word of God. Now, that was public law 97-80, not resolution or wish book. Now, in part, it was a joint resolution by those of Congress passed into public law that says, in part, I'll read a sentence to you, whereas this nation now faces great challenges that will test this nation as it has never been tested before, boy, is that true, and whereas that renewing our knowledge of and faith in God through Holy Scripture can strengthen us as a nation and a people, now therefore be it resolved by the Senate and the House of Representatives, so on and so forth. Now, if it's good enough for the Congress of the United States to recognize the Bible, the Word of God, and reflecting the two sentences that I just mentioned, I would think it will be certainly good enough for me also. Now, the ADL and the JDL and the AIPAC and all the rest of those communists don't have any more authority than my neighbor's dog does. They want to yap and whine and cry, and I'm just obeying the law of the United States and the Bible. So if people would understand that and get strengthened and read a little bit, I think that they would be aware of this. Now, all this stuff was out here long before the widespread use of the Internet. Now, we have the word of law and rule of law in back of us. And if what Reverend Pike said was quite true, if we start knuckling under to these people, giving in, acquiescing, we're not going to have a thing, because I'm familiar enough with the Talmud, having read a lot of excerpts out of it, that they're just going to wipe the Christianity off the face of the earth. So with that comment, I don't know what your feelings may be on that, but as I just so designated now, there is strength in this. Congress recognized it, so I will too.
Well, we appreciate that. It was under the Reagan years. But, okay, Ted, do you have any response to what Ron has just brought up?
Well, I think it was excellent. Appreciate that very much, Ron. Up in Canada, the law is very clear about what is illegal. Section 319 of the Federal Code says that if anyone holds up another person or another group, religious, political group, ethnic group, to hatred or contempt, that is a hate crime. And we had a previous caller here who seemed to be, to a certain extent, minimizing the danger. The fact of the matter is, you certainly can criticize Israel and in Gaza, in the behavior in Gaza, in Canada to now. But, boy, I dare anybody to go on the airwaves in Canada today and preach that the Jews had Jesus Christ killed 2,000 years ago. In fact, I have a friend in Toronto, and I asked him frankly, I said, what would happen if you went out on the street corner and began declaiming what the book of Acts says about the Jews being complicit in the death of Christ? He said, Ted, I'd be playing with fire. I could get a visit from the police that very day for holding a particular group up to hatred and contempt. And I received many, many communications from Christians and patriots in Canada, and with virtually no exceptions do I find that they are in solid agreement with everything I'm saying about what's happening in Canada.
That's right. We don't want that to happen here, obviously, but that's the fight. Thank you, Ron, for the call. Ted, I'll hold you over for one more opportunity to
whatever
take a
you
call.
Need, Rick.
So you stay where you are, Ted Pike, truthtellers.org, and we'll talk again for just a few minutes about what needs to be done. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, right here on RepublicBroadcasting.org.
What have you done? Thousands of years of building and rebuilding, creating and recreating so you can let it crumble to dust. a million years. The sensitive men dying for their dreams. For what? So you can swim and dance and play.
And we're back again. I want to squeeze in a call from Doug here in Texas with Ted Pike. Hello there, Doug.
Yeah, great. And
I hope your phone is better tonight, Doug, than it has been.
Well, I hope it is, too. That's up to
sounds a little groggy to me, so you better make it quick, Doug.
Okay. Pastor Pike is on there talking about what, you know, he's talking about Goyim like they're people. And I don't understand that because he obviously doesn't understand the fact that our Antichrist Jewish supremacist masters don't view us as people. They view us as animals.
Yes. Well, Ted knows that. I think you know that, don't you, Ted?
Yes, I appreciate your tongue-in-cheek.
Oh.
Do you have another question, Doug?
Well, that's the first tongue-in-cheek for me, so you can like that, you know, record that as I called in tongue-in-cheek.
Yes, you usually do. All right. Okay, thank you, Doug. Ted, now, here's the thing, the legislation, so people don't get confused, you're concentrating primarily in the House on a pieces of legislation, H.R. 256, which passed in the House 2 years ago.
Yes.
And as you point out, the Democratic-controlled House Judiciary Committee now, they would like to move these bills onto the floor with a blitzkrieg rapidity, right? And that's
yes,
the one we're
would.
Talking about first of all.
That's right. They overwhelmingly dominate all of these subcommittees in the House now. And as I said, since that bill, the federal hate bill, was basically passed 2 years ago, all they really need to do legally is to have a voice vote. And since they dominate, they can shoot it right through. So time is of the essence. We really need a first thing Monday morning to make those calls, start making those calls, especially to the House Judiciary members. And again, those 40 members are available at truthtellers.com. .org. You can just click on to our action page on the home page. And, of course, also click on to our 10-minute video, How to Kill the Hate Bills. That will give you a quick education, an attractive, interesting video you can share with your church, Sunday school class, Christian group, and so on. We really need to take action because this is a very, very lethal and dangerous, dynamic, evil duo of Antichrist legislation that together could destroy our republic.
Okay, so we have H.R. 256 and the other legislation, H.R. 262, as well as the ENDA Act, E-N-D-A. And so we have the hate speech, hate bias crime laws, and we have this Employment Non-Discrimination Act that also the Obama administration would like to see enacted, obviously. And the
yes.
number that they can call in Congress, I guess you can give the numbers if you'd like. You
yes,
can do
you
that
can.
Yourself, or I can do it, either one.
Sure. Why don't you give them, Rick, if you have them? You're probably clearer than I am.
All right. It's 877, toll-free, 877-851-6437, or toll number at 202-225-3121. That'll get you through to the switchboard. And then all they have to do is ask for their own congressmen and the congresspeople that are on this committee and speak to each of them within a matter of minutes, right?
Yes, that's right. Just go
speak
down
to their offices and their staff.
That's right. Do what you can every day, and pretty soon you'll have them all taken care of.
All right, then, Ted. I think that the key here is to get informed. Number one, use the video and the audio that we've played tonight. And to go to your website, they can get up-to-date, accurate information, and then just go ahead and do it. Let's do it starting Monday, okay? All right,
yes.
Ted, thank you for being with me again for the update, and obviously we will hear from you regularly on the subject.
Thank you so much, Rick.
Thank you, Ted. Good night now.
Good night.
All right. Well, that's it, ladies and gentlemen. That's point number one tonight. Now, I would like to also get back to a subject which does tie quite directly into what I was just saying a moment ago or so, pertaining to the story that many of you probably now, I say probably, have not seen on the media, and yet it was covered today on MSNBC's website, and that is the story on World News headlined, Vatican Earthed by Blasphemous Israeli TV Show. The host says the show was a, quote, lesson to Christians who deny the Holocaust. And this is what they said from Vatican City. The Vatican said today it has formally complained to the Israeli government about a private Israeli TV show that ridiculed and blasphemed Jesus and Mary. In the program, the host farcically denied Christian traditions that Mary was a virgin and that Jesus walked on water, saying he would do so as a lesson to Christians who denied the Holocaust. It was a reference to the Vatican's recent lifting of the excommunication of a bishop who denied 6 million Jews were killed during World War II. The rehabilitation sparked outrage among Jews, we're told. A statement from the Vatican press office said its representative in Israel complained to the government about the show, which was broadcast recently on private Channel 10, one of Israel's three main TV stations. The statement said the government quickly assured the Holy See that it would intervene to interrupt the transmission and get the broadcaster to publicly apologize. But it wasn't immediately clear how the government could do so, since Channel 10 is a, quote, private station and is not subject to government censorship, except in matters of security. Calls to Channel 10 seeking comment were not successful today. The Israeli Foreign Ministry had no comment. Now, they say the Vatican said that in the clip, Mary and Joseph were ridiculed with blasphemous words and images that amounted to a vulgar and offensive act of intolerance toward the religious sentiments of the believers in Jesus Christ, quote unquote. In the show, hosted by well-known Israeli comedian Lior Schlein, Mary is said to have become pregnant at 15 years old, thanks to a schoolmate. It said Jesus could never have walked on water because he was so fat he was ashamed to leave the house, let alone go to the Sea of Galilee with a bathing suit. Now, that's the sort of thing that makes for good fare in Israel today. Despite the way this story has been packaged by MSNBC, you need to know that in Israel proper, Christianity, of course, and any proselytizing for the Christian religion is strictly forbidden in our great so-called democratic, freedom-loving ally, Israel. Christianity is widely and deeply hated, resented, and looked down upon in Israel. So this TV program, I am very sure, brought about an immense amount of support from the Israeli public, cheering it on almost to the man. I am positive, I would stake my very existence on it, that they received far more calls of applause than calls of denunciation. The only calls that came in primarily were those calls from the Vatican, Catholics all over, Arab Christians and Muslims, and those here in the United States who, when they heard the story, were also quite outraged. Now, it's one thing to deny the so-called Holocaust, which is a political story. It's another thing for, in retribution, for one to say that if you deny our Holocaust, we will ridicule your religion. That, of course, is not a logical soliloquy. And that certainly is not a, quote, tit for tat retribution. It is petty, to be sure. It is vulgar, to be sure. It is certainly outrageous, to be sure. But no matter what your persuasion is, it is not an equitable retort. It is totally and completely beyond the pale. But then again, as we know, it is customary in Jewish religious circles, particularly the radical Talmudic circles of the ultra-Orthodox, to spit three times when a rabbi walks by a Christian assembly. You know the significance of that, obviously. You realize what that indicates. The three times of the spitting at the Christian minister. This, of course, goes on regularly in Israel, almost on a daily basis, and probably on a daily basis to some extent. So, this is an indication of the kind of hatred that exists for Christians. We'll be back in just 3 minutes.
We've just been too busy setting up our businesses. We didn't pay enough attention to what was going on around us. We allowed a bunch of thieves and murderers to get control.
Radio Avenger returns, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio, discussing this hate speech idea and what it represents, and to see how some are more equal than others when they practice their speech or their written expressions, as we are finding out. And this example of this making fun of the Christian tradition, not just Catholic, is certainly typical of what goes on in Zionist circles. They certainly didn't need the excuse of so-called Holocaust denial in order to get away with that type of thing. And you can bet your sweet Biffy that despite all of the talk from the Israeli government, there will be virtually nothing done. In fact, if anything, it will probably be enhanced and spread. So, you know, this is the war that goes on, the culture-religious war that goes on against most of the world by that tiny little, poor little innocent, defenseless state of Israel. Now, before I take more calls, I would like to go to another story that also is intertwined with this story. And this one actually comes right from Hollywood. This is interesting. A popular U.S. television series is coming under fire after a recent episode portrayed Israel in a harsh light and appeared to promote anti-Semitic stereotypes of Jews as disloyal citizens. The plot line of the February 27th installment of Law and Order, Criminal Intent, a fictional police drama broadcast across America on NBC, centers on a journalist who is poisoned after his girlfriend uncovers a follow-up by Israeli intelligence. The show depicted Israeli bulldozers destroying Palestinian schools. Where would they get that from? With at least one character referring to Israeli brutality. It also includes a Jewish police captain who agrees to cover up for Israel by shutting down a criminal investigation at the urging of the head of the local pro-Israel group. In one scene, after Captain Danny Ross tells his officers to halt their investigation, detectives Mike Logan confronts him and asks, "Are you a Jew first and a cop second?" After the episode was broadcast, the Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting in America, CAMERA, that's a Jewish front group, launched an email campaign urging people to protest NBC over the content of the program. Now, of course, this is kind of humorous, knowing who owns and runs NBC. But in a report appearing on the group's website, CAMERA noted that, quote, damaging misinformation is being conveyed about Israel, not just in news stories, but in popular culture items as well. Asserting that the episode fosters negative stereotypes of Jews as disloyal Americans and Israelis as brutes who demolish Palestinian schools and kill innocents, CAMERA said that during this time of escalating anti-Semitism and anti-Israel animus, the show's executives have shown extremely poor judgment to promote such an anti-Jewish, anti-Israel storyline. The group encouraged people to write to NBC President Jeff Zucker, as well as the program's executive producers. Oh, my. Oh, my, ladies and gentlemen. Now, this story appeared in the Jerusalem Post, and contacted by the JP, NBC sent a statement via email which said, quote, "As you know, the program material on Law and Order has traditionally addressed provocative contemporary issues, and it's ripped from the headline stories, often spark debate on many controversial subjects. As noted on air, the program's fictional and does not depict any actual person or event." An NBC spokesman declined to respond to questions concerning allegations of anti-Semitism in the show's dialogue or plot. All right, so there you have it. That's the story right from the Jerusalemites, right there, complaining about stereotypes, complaining about anti-Semitism, anti-Israel, anti-Jewish stereotypes. And look at that, my goodness. These are almost to the men, the same groups that are promoting hate speech, hate crimes legislation in the U.S. Congress that, if enacted, would lead to this very prosecution and punitive measure which they seek to impose on all those who do criticize the Zionist regime. So, you see, I think that is most revelatory, is it not? Indeed. All right, time for a break now. We'll take calls when we come back at 800-313-9443. Rick Adams, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio, right here on Republic.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
And we are back. Thank you, George. We're back now at 1-800-313-9443. I think I'll take a call or two here. Tony in Florida is next there. Tony, you're on the air.
Hey, Rick. You there?
I'm here.
Okay. This may be a little controversial, what I have to say. When was the last time you've been in Washington, D.C.?
I'm afraid to tell you, too recently. It was
okay.
about 5 years ago.
Okay. I'm just going to get to the point. I'm going to blow it all out.
Please do.
I was there in 2002. I was on the front lawn of the Capitol at a rally. It was a National Alliance rally. And we were chanting, what do we want? Jews out. When do we want it? Now. And there was about 500 of us there. Okay. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that I got a chance to check out the demographic situation of the capital, the Beltway area. Okay. Are you still there?
Yes, yes. Go ahead.
Okay. Have you checked out the demographic situation of the Beltway area around this capital, this federal government that is imposing everything that we're against, that we chant about on and on and on RBN? I mean, this is a physical presence. This is a physical thing that does this to us. It's centered in that area. And there's a demographic situation about around that area.
What do you mean by demographic specifically?
Okay, I'm just
going to
get to the chase and we'll just cut the call short. All right, we have a Judaized federal government that is, you know, imposing a Judaized plan and agenda on us. And what I see around that area is Arabic Islamic situation. It's a third world situation. White people moved out. You have a Hispanic, Islamic, black demographic around that area.
Are you speaking about black Muslims? Is that what you're saying?
Not really. I mean, come on. You've been around D.C. You're from Maryland. Okay, you have, I mean, I saw a Ethiopian restaurant one block from the Pentagon. A few miles away, I saw a Somali butcher shop. And I mean, I'm not trying to sound like an idiot here. This is what's going on here. These
That that's reflective of the population of D.C.
And the point I'm trying to make is that the policy within this little, 10 square mile area that is imposing these policies on this country, our white race, and the world. I mean, this is where this is coming from, in this little tiny demographic area. And it's surrounded by these people within that chose to let these people in this country to surround that area. And I know I'm being very complicated, by people that don't even agree with what they're, you understand what I'm saying? And my point is, I tried to tell this to Piper. He lives four blocks from where I was chanting 7 years ago. Rick, I've called you 10 times. Don't cut me off. I'm not an idiot here. Where I was chanting, what do we want? Jews out. When do we want it? Now. Okay? I was doing this on the front lawn with the National Alliance. But surrounding this area, this is what is imposing this. This is a geographic area that's imposing what we're talking about. It's surrounded by hostile people.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah. What am I supposed to say to that now? That's the question.
What
do you want me to say, Tony?
I'm making a statement.
All right.
What I'm wondering is, why don't these people just go into this area and waste the place? And I mean, I sound radical because this is what is surrounding this area.
Well, I mean,
what
do you want to do? Go in there and kill everybody?
I wouldn't care less. I'm not talking about innocent people. I'm just talking about the federal government. They've surrounded this place by Muslims, hostile elements.
Tony, I never liked Washington. I've never liked Washington, D.C., regardless of the demographic. If it was all white, I wouldn't like Washington, D.C. I hated Washington, D.C. from when I was a child. I hate New York City, okay? I don't hate the people, all of them in New York City. I hate cities. I hate the District of Columbia, or criminals, whatever you want to call it, and it doesn't matter to me. I understand what you're saying. I understand that what you're saying is representative of the mongrelization, if you want to use that, of our entire nation. But we've passed that point of no return now, and we're not going to wish it away simply by raising a magic wand. It's not going to happen, Tony. That's the thing.
Right.
We have brought it upon ourselves. We have brought this problem upon ourselves, and now we have to face it. That's just the way
Rick,
it is, Tony.
Rick,
you understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is these people that did this to us surrounded themselves with their enemies. Not us, not white people. They surrounded themselves with Islamics and so forth and so forth. I saw a Somalian butcher shop. I don't get these people. These people could just, that surround that capital. This is just this little piece of property that's imposing this on this whole huge landmass that we could just blow off in a second and say, hey, we refuse what you're doing to us. And
I would have no problem with that.
Yeah.
Telling Washington to take a hike would be a wonderful idea. I would agree.
Rick, follow me. What that place physically is surrounded by is hostile third world people that these Jews let in and they're sitting there. Go look at it.
No, I understand that. In fact, let me just say this, Tony, okay? Because we do have to move along at some point. We're not going to let it drag on.
Okay,
we do have to take the call. But here's the point. Here's the point. You're right when you say that this particular clique of Zionist Jews have brought about this mosaic, as they would call it, of inclusionism in the United States, which means so-called multiracial diversity, the same diversity that they will not allow within the state of Israel. That is true. They will not permit it. They will not allow it because they are a purely supremacist state. Now, we are not a supremacist nation. However, we are primarily and historically a European nation, and there is nothing particularly odious about that to me at all. I agree. The problem is now they have let the bats in the belfry, and the question is, what do you think is going to be done about it at this late date?
This is my last point. I'm going to go. Buddy, you're my favorite person in the world. I don't want to screw your program up. These people that surround that little landmass that is doing this to us could just walk in there and loot the place. I'm not talking about you and me. I'm talking about those third world people that they surrounded us to screw us over. They surround that place. You got my point?
The policies
that they advocate is against the people that surround the landmass.
I understand that.
I understand,
but they're not swift enough to understand that, Tony. And hopefully they will understand it before it's too late. All right. I thank you for your call, for your accolade. But now it's time to take another call or two. I think Doug came back now, too. So is that true, Doug? Are you on the line again? Are you on a landline now?
I'm on a landline.
You're on land? Okay, good. Thank you. What did you want to say now? You're more audible, Doug. You're clear.
All right, Rick.
Good.
I don't know what to think about the last caller, but anyway.
Sure. I mean, some of what he says I can understand and appreciate.
Yeah, I can get a portion of what he said. I agree with him. Some of what he said. But, Rick, you know, we're missing trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. And the geniuses that were holding the piggy bank that is empty, that needs to be filled up with taxpayers' trillions of dollars. Now, they don't even teach that in schools anymore. Population in the United States doesn't have an idea what $1 trillion is, but our piggy bank is broke. We pay Maurice Greenberg and, you know, the head of AIG and all these little organizations. They happen to be Antichrist, Jewish supremacist, money changers, bankers. I think that's the correct term, bankers,
yeah,
fill their piggy bank back up because it's gone. And
pretty good. It's a pretty good racket, though. Pretty good system of theft.
Nobody's going to jail. Think
of
how many people are in jail for shoplifting.
Those are the ones you got to put in jail, the little people.
Auto theft. Auto theft.
Now, you understand the logic behind that, don't you?
I'm trying to. I'm really
trying. I'll tell you, while I have you on the phone, I hope you will bear with me and everyone out there listening, because I have what is a stimulus payment information question and answer. Would you like to hear it?
Yes, certainly would.
Okay. Here's how it goes, Doug. This year, taxpayers will receive an economic stimulus payment. This is a very exciting new program that we would like to explain using the Q&A format. So the first question is, and I will give the answer as well, what is an economic stimulus payment? Answer, it is money that the federal government will send to taxpayers. Question, where will the government get this money? Answer, from taxpayers. Question, so the government is giving me back my own money? Answer, only a smidge in. Question, what is the purpose of this payment? Answer, the plan is that you will use the money to purchase a high-definition TV set, thus stimulating the economy. Question, but isn't that stimulating the economy of China? Answer, shut up.
Rick.
Yes.
Very informative narrative you had there.
Thank you.
And I think I need to hang up and let some of the more enlightened callers respond to that.
I will do that. I
don't want to burn up my carbon footprint or whatever.
And I wouldn't
want
to tax your faculties anymore. All right. Thank you. Good night. Now, here, ladies and gentlemen, before we go on, is some helpful advice on how best to help the U.S. economy by spending your stimulus check wisely. Are you ready? Here we go. If you spend that money at Walmart, all the money will go to China. If you spend it on gasoline, it will go to the Middle East. If you purchase a computer, it will go to India. If you purchase fruit and vegetables, it will go to Mexico, Honduras, and Guatemala, unless you buy organic. If you buy a car, it will go to Japan. If you purchase useless crap, it will go to Taiwan. And none of it will help the American economy. We need to keep that money right here in America, is what they tell us. Oh, my. I thought that was somewhat cute. I have to admit. It was slightly creative, huh? All right. That's one thing out of the way. Now, I'm going to take a call from David in Washington State. Hello there, David.
Hi. How are you doing, Rick?
I'm doing. I'm
yes,
still here.
Yes, indeed.
By the grace of the Father, yes.
Say, I was wondering about that film that was shown on private channel 10. Anybody
yes,
have a copy
in
of that?
Israeli, yes.
Anybody have a copy of that that's available? We could pass around.
I've been trying to get a good question you asked, David, because I have been trying to locate it if it were on the web, but I cannot find it on the web so far. If anybody out there can, please let us know, because we would love to see it as well.
Yeah, that would be good to pass. That would be you know what it would do, but the more people could see that, I think some people would be saying, you know, they'd be waking up to some things they hadn't been aware of. I'm sure
Absolutely.
A lot of people would be.
Absolutely.
I know a lot of people that would be enlightened by that, something like that. So Yeah, that was a good bit of information there. And well,
I think people need to know these things, you know, that they don't often see them in much of the printed page, but they do pop up now and then on the various news forums, you see. And then they quickly disappear, by the way. They don't stay very long.
Yeah. I like your story, too, about the buying. Now I'm in a quandary. I don't know what to buy or where to buy it. I don't get any of that money. I don't want any of that stuff back.
Well, you know, seriously, all kidding aside, I was reading in the local paper here an interview with people and their reactions to the so-called stimulus bill that was passed.
Yeah.
And what they were intending to do with the mere couple of $100 or so that they'll be getting. You know, one man said that he intends to put the money to good use. Do you know what he intends to do?
I don't have an idea right now.
He intends to go and buy groceries. He intends to buy food with it. Now, do you realize the significance of that statement, what he's actually saying? Is that he's going to use whatever money he gets to be able to feed himself.
Right.
And his family. Now, yeah. Since when have we reached that point in our nation's existence that we have to depend on a government stimulus check or a tax rebate or any money that we get just to be able to feed ourselves?
Since we lost sight of what's been taking hold of us for
Absolutely.
The last few decades. Yeah.
At a break. Thank you, David. We'll be right back with more.
Now we can see a new world coming into view. A world in which there is a very real prospect of a new world order.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you see what's happened now with the stock market. You see what's happened with gold in response. Gold at nearly, what, $1,000 an ounce? That is despite the gold suppression attempts to keep it as low as possible. Right now, the actual price of gold should probably be almost $1,800 per ounce. And this is amazing. We're told gold hits a record against the euro on fear of a Zimbabwean-style response to the bank crisis. Surging to an all-time high against the euro, the sterling, and the string of Asian currencies on mounting concerns that global authorities are embarking on a Zimbabwe-style debasement of the entire international money system or monetary system. Gold is rallying. It is driven by safe haven fears and has a very different feel from the bull market we've had for the last 8 years, according to, who's that, John Reed, chief metal strategist at UBS. Investors are seeking articles in the press saying government should deliberately stoke inflation, and they are reacting to it. Gold jumped to these multiple records just this week, triggered by fears that Eastern Europe's banking crisis could set off debt default and lead to contagion within the eurozone. You see, now, this is so obvious, ladies and gentlemen. When they bring up Zimbabwe, you know that Zimbabwe was formerly the nation of Rhodesia, white-ruled Rhodesia. It was given to the so-called black majority dictatorship of Mr. Robert Mugabe, thug, and now Zimbabwe has a total despotic crisis. Inflation is in the three digits. Unemployment is hovering at 90%. Starvation is pretty rampant. Disease like cholera is definitely out of control. And that is what they would like to impose on us. These criminal international bankster-gangster Kenites, these children of the devil, these children of Cain, these financial wizards and demons would love to be able to bring that here. And let me tell you something. They look like they are going to. That is why you need to prepare. You need to do what you can to do as much as you can within human limits, as much as reasonable, to protect you and your family by all means available. The time will come when we will see these crises spread worldwide and in not too distant a time. So let's be wise, let's prepare, and let's seek refuge in the Master. He's the only refuge that I can think of. Things are getting there, ladies and gentlemen. We predicted it how many years ago? They laughed then, but they're not laughing now. All right. Sorry to leave you on a somber note, but what can I do but be honest? Rick Adams, have a good weekend. Lord willing, we'll see you next week. Maybe we'll have Don Nikoloff do the show Monday night with Dr. K away for a few days. But I'll tell you, we will be back next week for more fascinating conversation, Yahweh willing. Have yourselves a blessed weekend. Rick Adams, good night.